When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Scene to Scene podcast. I am your host, Valerie Complex, associate editor and film writer at Deadline.com. Today, I am chatting with Mayan Lopez, the co-creator, writer, co-executive producer, and star of NBC comedy series Lopez vs. Lopez. George Lopez and Mayan Lopez are related, father, daughter, and in the show, they play fictionalized versions of themselves. And the series follows George as the owner of a moving company that went bankrupt and is forced to move into his daughter Mayan's house. The problem is that Mayan and George have just started speaking after being estranged for most of her teenage years. Now they seek to heal their relationship and learn more about each other, and he learns more about her family. Mayan Lopez made her television debut in episode 6 of The George Lopez Show, and the episode is titled George Rocks to the Max and Gets Disbanded. Later on in her life, she received extensive training at the conservatory program at Second City, as well as the Columbia College Comedy Writing and Performance Program in Chicago. Lopez honed her improv skills while performing with various improv troupes late night at Second City after the main stage shows, and did voiceover work for the local Chicago and regional Midwest market. Lopez's additional credits include Handsome, a Netflix murder mystery, Other People, Jersey, and Mr. Troop Mom. She also serves as the ambassador for the National Alliance of Mental Illness, the nation's largest grassroots mental health organization. In this episode, we discuss what it's like to work closely with family. We talk about the process of producing a show, and we talk about the importance of self-care. If you like what you hear, be sure to review, like, and subscribe to the Scene to Scene podcast on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Thank you, Mayan Lopez, for coming on the Scene to Scene podcast. How are you post-Zoom technical difficulty?
Something I'm very familiar with. I feel really great. We just finished one of the first four episodes of season 2 of Lopez versus Lopez. So I am coming off of that and coming into it with you. And so I'm really excited. Thank you so much for having me here.
I want to talk to you about a couple of things, but I want to talk to you about the process of writing. From coming up with ideas that fit the story on Lopez and Lopez to executing that in script form, collaboration, and then getting the finished product out there. Can you sort of walk the listeners through what that process is like for you?
Yes, absolutely. The show is loosely based on Lopez versus Lopez. It's loosely based on my relationship with my dad. But as it goes on, our characters are like us, but they're different. But I think what always stays the same is the relationship between a father and a daughter that have a tricky family dynamic. I think going into the second season, we have started to really realize these characters. So I think when it comes to story, we have so many other different characters and what their needs and wants are. But our showrunner, Debbie Wolf, is just so wonderful that we are really collaborative with one another. If we could text about something that just really happened in real life. Like, there was one episode last season about my character not speaking Spanish, and I don't speak Spanish in real life. I'm trying to learn through Duolingo. But that, like, really happened, and we were able to find a way to marry that into her with her father and the moving company. And it was able to have a really wonderful story about it. I think with the second season, now we are able to go and the writer's room, I think we all are like a well-oiled machine now. And we're always collaborating, we're always going on different drafts, and I think always we're just trying to show the heart and the truth of these characters. And I think with comedy, it's just trying to find the truth in it, and I think we're just always trying to find a release of how to get that, as you know, wrapped up in a little bow as a sitcom as you can.
How does it feel to be deeply immersed in something that is personal to you and personal to the people involved? How do you create that balance of injecting enough of yourself into these characters and the story, but also keeping that distance?
It was definitely a learning process, because I'm doing scenes with not just another actor, but someone that I've really had these real life conversations, or even sometimes my character, I call her Schmayan. I call her sitcom Mayan, because there has to be that, I have to be playing a character. I realize that if I put too much of myself and I personalize some of these things to my own personal experience rather than hers, that's when I can sometimes get into trouble where I don't want to bring that home with me. I think sometimes it can be a positive where my character and her dad get to have a conversation, then my dad and I have that conversation outside, and it actually has helped our relationship go through some things. But there needs to be where I have to have that degree of separation and play a character. And it's been, with acting, you can escape into the character, but I'm not escaping fully. I use my own personal experiences and my own like thoughts and years and in therapy and my own acting training to be able to do what I need to do and protect my heart. But I think I have that enough where I think what makes Lopez versus Lopez, and I think what makes the viewers really connect, and what I've heard from the fans, is they sometimes say like, that was real tears. You were really crying. And I was like, yes, I was, because sometimes I allow the veil to go down because I want to show that truth and these human experiences that I'm able to do on a sitcom, which I think historically sitcoms have been able to go and talk about some of the deeper issues that we in the human experience and do that successfully, that's able to be tangible to everybody.
You know, it sounds like you definitely sort of manage that balance with raw emotion and authenticity. And where, you know, the idea for the Lopez versus Lopez show is really interesting, and wondering how one conceptualizes that and how, you know, some examples of how how that story was put together and what that will look like. Because, when you take aspects of your life and whatever, you always wonder, how will I use that to put together a story that is entertaining, funny, but also hits those emotional moments?
Yeah, I think with even the conception of Lopez versus Lopez, it came from a TikTok that I made that I was not really talking with my dad at the time. And I wanted to find connection with other people about my family dynamic of, having a father that wasn't always, involved. Or, my dad had a really tough childhood. And I think the generational trauma is prevalent in, not only just the Latine or a minority communities, but I think everywhere. And I felt like I wanted to try to connect with that. And that's and Debbie Wolf, who says that something can't happen on TikTok at 2 a.m. Something good can't come out of being on there at that hour. She saw a speck of truth in it. She saw something that could become more. And we all got into a meeting with one another. And I think my dad and I would have never thought to work together. I think my dad actually thought it was going to be an animated series, because it was like, there's no way that they're going to allow a real father and daughter to do this. But I think as the conception of the show has come about and we've gotten more into it, I think it's a story of just focusing on a family, just focusing on the dynamics of what we want these characters to say. Do we want these conversations of, the father going, it's like, it's Lopez versus Lopez. So does Mayan be a little bit more like the parent in this conversation, or does George be able to kind of give Mayan a learning curve or something that can help her heal and make their relationship stronger? Because as you grow older, you see your parents as people, And I think that's something that we always try to say and go through the whole aspect of the series is to just connect.
Is there anything that you are surprised to learn about yourself, having gone through the process of the show, gone through the first season, the writing, and knowing what you know now? Is there anything that sort of jumped out and surprised you about yourself and surprised you about the process?
Yeah, I think now in production, I've realized how I'm so much more confident. I've never done a series of television before, let alone a sitcom. And now as an actor and now a co-executive producer, I have always loved the industry, but to now be as immersed in it every day is the highlight of my life. And I'm so excited and happy every day when I get to go to work, because I've just wanted to tell stories like this always. I've wanted to tell real stories about communities, helping my community. I'm very proud to be Latina and to be the only Latino show on television right now. That's something that, you know, people get to watch me and see themselves. And when sometimes acting was difficult for me, I always thought about that of, I want to help people. I want my story to mean something. And it has been. And so that fuels me every day when I get to go to work. And, you know, when we're off, you know, I'm reading scripts and it's inspiring me to now want to tell more stories as I go on into my career. And I think it's definitely how a concept of the training, but also just it's become very natural. And I was afraid to kind of trust myself because I had a lot of pressure, you know, being a number two, but I've kind of trusted myself, fallen into it. And I've been very proud of myself of how I've been able to soar. And in the second season, I feel like I'm shining. I'm just going to say it. So I feel very good about it.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
With all of the cancellations and just overall seeming dismissal of these sort of stories about people who are not white and male, it has sort of shown the way and the sort of future that the industry might be headed in. Can you talk about some challenges about working within that and what you may think keeps keeps a show going amidst all of this drama that's happening in Hollywood right now?
Yes, I think there's definitely some. I think about like the last 20 years, I think about, or even the last 30, my mother is also an executive producer, and I've seen my mom and dad, as I've grown up, I've seen them not accept certain roles because they didn't want to portray a stereotype. And I think as we've gone forward in the last 20, I've been seeing that there has been a change and there's more opportunities and there's for us and the Latine or even just diversity. But there are, I've noticed sometimes with network that there are just some things that they can't touch or they don't want to touch in those stories. And that's okay, because it's something that you're like, okay, not for this platform, I'll find another one. It's something for a different day. And, you know, you have to turn inward into your own communities. As I think, especially during the ACT strike, I found a beautiful community that formed within the Latina community of Latinas acting up. And I think even just finding that reignited, oh, we're all soldiers in this fight with one another. And I think even when one show goes down or one gets canceled, everyone kind of looks around at each other, like, who's going to step up? Who's going to go next? And I think within that also is when we have to support those projects. I think when that we don't always support the projects that are going on, and you need to, because if that one does well, then you're going to be able to do something, because then they're going to say, oh, well, Lopez versus Lopez is going on the second season. It's on network. Oh, hey, we can like try to pitch this in this way. And, you know, we want to help everybody. I think I'm very fortunate. I think Universal and NBC has been, sometimes we're like, oh, we can get away with the storyline. Oh, or we're able to do this right now. Okay. Especially in some that are coming up in the second season. But I feel hopeful, but there's definitely more work that needs to be done. And I think if we all go together, I think we can. I know we can.
When you talk about turning inward to your community, I see how that's so, so important, especially now. It's really interesting that you look at how these communities react to shows like Lopez versus Lopez, and the studios are like, or, you know, One Day at a Time being a really great example. And, you know, studios being like, no, you know, and just not seeing the value in that, and how you hold on to the value of, you know, what you're a part of. So thank you for mentioning that. I just wanted to give you your flowers with that, because that was a great response. And so when you look toward the future of the show and the second season, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, well, the first season, it's on Netflix, but I think the first season was really it was emotional. It was funny. I think we've definitely used laughter as a release, and we covered a lot of really important, poignant points of, you know, generational trauma. We were talking about alcoholism. We were talking about mental health and these really big topics that we were able to find ways of showing just enough where we didn't want to be preachy. We didn't want to be preachy at all. And that's a very fine line when you're talking about these kind of topics. You don't want to educate. You just want to, you want to show them the experience, and you want to almost have the viewer be their own idea. I think any time that I want into every episode, my goal is to always think about, I think about the viewers on the couch, and I hope that they turn next to each other with their family or whoever they're communicating with, and they're able to talk and connect. That is like every time I go into an episode, and every time we go into that is like, how can we just form connection? We tackle new topics. We're going to show more dynamics. We have such an incredible cast. Not just like me, my dad, like Senanis Leyva, who's known for Orange is the New Black. She plays my mother on the show. I've really never seen a sitcom actress like her. She's never really done comedy before, but she is in her own lane. And it's really remarkable to be able to work with her. And, you know, my dad has taught me so much, but we even ended on this first season with my dad getting sober. And that's something that's a wake up call to him. And it's after a very emotional intervention. And it's now starting to see the first few weeks of sobriety and how really the family has to change and give their trust and change with the person that's getting sober, which I think even in real life with recovery, that's not always something that families think about. They always want the person to get sober. They don't think that they have to change. And so I think that's definitely one thing throughout this show, this next season, is how I think all of the characters are going to change and navigate, but always go back and leading with love.
Thank you for that response. And I really think that people should go and check out the show and just sort of get to know these characters and explore this relationship. You know, I've heard different things about it, and watching it, it resonated with me and so many of the people that I know that watch it. So I just wanted to let you know about that we see you and we hear you and we feel the experiences from the show. So I just wanted to let you know that. I wanted to ask about your relationship with the National Alliance of Mental Illness. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I am very proud to be a NAMI ambassador. It's something that's talked about in the show, the divorce and how that's affected. I think in real life, I've been in therapy I'm 27 years old. I've been in therapy for over 15 years. And it's not easy to have, I mean, a divorce, I think especially I was 15 when my parents got divorced. Any divorce is hard, but when a divorce is very public, it's not easy. And it's not always easy to be vulnerable. And the more that we are, the more that we can help others. I think in my art, I've always wanted to find a way to, I mean, I've been like 7 different versions of myself, and I've always been brave. And I always think I've always survived 100% of the days that I didn't think I was going to make it. And, you know, there are times where I didn't want to be here, and to think that I wouldn't have accomplished anything that I've done now, that it's just that moment. You have to get just past that hard moment that you don't think you can. And I think something that, you know, actually helped me was, you know, writing down my stories, but something that's even coming up that was my biggest goal that actually really, I talk about it when I'm on this show, but I'm a guest judge on RuPaul's Drag Race in this next season. And I watched that show and it gave me confidence when I didn't have confidence. And I went on that show and I was able to like talk with RuPaul and tell him, and he said, well, if I could have like helped someone, I'm glad it was you, you know, even saying something like that. And I, with the Queens in Untucked, and I walk in there going, does anyone else have daddy issues? But, that was always my opening line, but we had really wonderful conversations. And I think even with Namir, I've gotten DMs from fans saying, thank you. You helped me get my own healing because my father passed away and this was our dynamic. And now I get to, you know, do my own work. Or thank you, I've been able to, you know, have these conversations with my dad, or I see myself so much in you. And I think even it's so important to just be able to, if you see someone that has even an instance of something that you're going through, it gives you a confidence of like, I'm being seen. And I think that's important, because you can put yourself in the dark and you can bury yourself and think nothing. But if you see, it just takes a little poke of light. And I love that. And I'm going to keep going through my career now, and for the rest of my life, I want to be able to help as many people as I can in any regard, whether it's stories that I convey in other acting projects that I do or ones that I create in the future.
Are there any other projects that you have coming up that you could talk about that we could get the tea on?
My episode of RuPaul's Drag Race premieres on March 22nd. And that is, it's like the biggest thing in my career. I joke that was like, my own show. Like, get me over there. No, but I think, and also this is a funny thing, the Lopez versus Lopez, the second season, premieres on April 2nd, which is my birthday, which I think, like, I was like, what? Like, NBC, did you plan this? Like, you didn't have to get me this as my present. Like, oh, that's very nice of you guys. No, I just think that's also a funny thing. You know, I'm very spiritual, so like, cosmically, I think like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, you
right,
know?
Right.
Like, that's on a Tuesday, and then my dad's birthday is April 23rd, which is also a Tuesday, so we're going to be having this year episodes, back-to-back episodes on our birthdays, which I think is just, you know, maybe a little sign of like, you're doing something good, and this is a good thing that you're doing.
What do you think you would be doing if you were not involved in the film and television industry?
My therapist says that I would make a great therapist.
Oh boy.
Like, even how I go into therapy sessions, I'm like very self-aware. And so I'll be like, okay, so I know I'm doing this, this, and this. And I think it's because of this, but what do you think? But I think I'd always want to help people, either or animals. I've always wanted to, I think I would be find a way to be of service in any way that I could.
Thank you so much for coming on the Scene to Scene podcast. This was really great. And thank you for your honesty and letting us inside some of the processes of how things work in Hollywood and how things are working out with the show. So thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, no, thank you, Valerie, so much. I feel very grateful to be in this opportunity. Thank you.